This program is being recorded for broadcast and replay on our website, on Awakening Together Radio, and on our YouTube channel. Please be aware that by speaking or typing on the board, you give consent to have your comments become a part of the recording. On that note, Gloria, the mic is all yours.
All right. Good morning, beloveds. Thank you so much, Dawn, for the intro there. As most of you probably have know by now, if you're paying attention to patterns here, I normally now teach or speak on the second, every other month on the first Sunday. And as I was listening last week during Reverend Jacqueline's teaching, you know, I sat back and got my cup of coffee as I normally do for these gatherings and settled in to listen. And the very first line of the reading talked about authenticity in early childhood, having our parents mirror back to us, something to that effect. And I literally sat up in my chair. I sat my cup down. I was amazed that that was how it was starting, because I've been working with the process and specifically focused on this issue. And so at that point, I reached out to Regina and asked if there was any possible way for me to come forward this week. And that was granted. Obviously, I'm here. So again, just really grateful to be here. I'm going to release the mic now and give us an opportunity here to greet one another in the sanctuary. So Dawn, if you would please play our opening song.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you. And yes, very good to see you all here as we enter the springtime of the year. Always very good to see everyone in the room. All right, so our statement of purpose here, we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And that brings us right up to our announcements for this week. There's still time to register for the Self-Inquiry Dyad Retreat, which will be held at the Retreat House in just a couple of weeks from now on April the 15th through the 19th. This retreat will be led by Anne Blanchard and Jacqueline Eckert with an introduction by Regina Dawn Akers. The Dyad Retreat will provide the opportunity to go very deeply into self-inquiry. You may be amazed at how much progress you make towards self-realization at a five-day Dyad Retreat. If you're interested in learning more about this retreat, go to Retreats and Classes, Retreats at the Retreat House. If you aren't called to dyads right now and you're interested in a different kind of retreat, check out the retreats we have coming up this summer. There is a lot of variety in our retreats. Upcoming retreats at the Retreat House include two silence and satsang retreats, one in May and one in August. This retreat is good for everyone who would like to spend some more time in quiet seclusion, whether it is in the meditation and contemplation room, in your own bedroom, or walking around beautiful La Vida. The retreat will also include question and answer periods with Regina. Regina is happy to spend time in private consultations during this retreat, if you desire that, and she will happily guide you on silent walks. And then there's the self-inquiry retreat in June. This is a repeat of the retreat that Regina offered in January. It isn't a dyad retreat. It's more of a contemplation, meditation, satsang retreat. Members who attended this retreat in January say it really affected their meditation practice. If you'd like to see an increase in your own enthusiasm for self-inquiry meditation, this may be the retreat for you. Then we have a Freedom from the Judge retreat in early July. Jacqueline Eckert will offer this three-day retreat over the weekend from July 5th through the 7th. This retreat is all about gaining freedom from your own internal judge. You will examine the ways in which you engage the judge, even though you are attempting to disengage from it. And you will get valuable practice disengaging from the judge. A nature and natural meditation retreat in late July. This retreat is based on teachings of Nisargadatta Maharaj and is an adapted repeat of the retreat that Regina offered in February. It's adapted because we will take more advantage of nature in July than we were able to in February. But all of the key components will remain part of the retreat. Members who attended this retreat in February said that their personal time spent in meditation naturally increased after attending this retreat. So if you feel you want to meditate more but haven't been able to get there on your own, this may be the retreat for you. La Vida is an incredibly beautiful place, and our retreat house has a sweet, rustic atmosphere with incredible views. It's a wonderful place to go deeper and increase spiritual practice. It's also fun to spend some time with other Awakening Together members. So check out our retreat schedule under Retreats and Classes, Retreats at the Retreat House, and see if there is a spring or summer retreat that calls to you. Right now, there is space available for all of our spring and summer retreats. All right, so that does conclude the announcements for this week. And I see our retreat house there. It's wonderful to see you all at the retreat house. Hello. Hey, Jay. Yes, and Cheryl and everybody there. So, yes, if you are called to or feel a call to attend one of these upcoming retreats, by all means, go out to the website, take a look there, and select whatever your heart takes you to. All right, so I'm going to ask Dawn to play another song, and I will be rejoining us with prayer here after that song. Take it away, Dawn.
Yeah.
All right, and if you'll join me now for prayer. As we come together in this united field of presence, this sacred space, I'm deeply grateful to be here. I'm deeply grateful to have the opportunity to share my experience, what I'm unlearning on this path, and to connect with all of the beloved like-minded. I've set an intention for this particular gathering, which is not something that I would normally do. So I absolutely give this gathering. It started out with Holy Spirit, and so I allow it to remain as such. I pray that whatever is to be heard, whatever is to be known, whatever is to be experienced is indeed our ultimate experience here as we continue on this path of awakening. Deeply grateful for each and every member, as well as the people who make this possible, the effort that goes into making these weekly gatherings possible. And so it is, and so I let it be. Amen. All right. So today's reading is from Mark Nepo's book. Mark Nepo is a poet, and he wrote a book which really has a lot of. I was actually looking when I located this reading. I was actually looking for a copy of Michael Singer's book. That was where I was initially heading there. But what I actually came across was Mark Nepo's book. So we know by now that everything is always working perfectly, as it should. So I took a look at this book, and within moments, I knew that this was where the reading would come from. My reader for today is Ruby Nassar. And so she'll be reading from a section of the Book of Awakening called Unlearning Back to God. So Ruby, I'm going to turn this mic over to you.
Everybody can hear me. I hope that's good. Thank you, Gloria. I always like to read. So Mark Nepo's Book of Awakening, Unlearning Back to God. The coming of consciousness, or the coming to consciousness, is not a discovery of something, of some new thing. I'm sorry, I gotta turn my phone off. It wants to ring. The coming to consciousness is not a discovery of something, of some new thing. It is a long and painful return to that which has always been. That's Helen Luke. Each person is born with an unencumbered spot, free of expectations and regret, free of ambition and embarrassment, free of fear and worry. An umbilical spot of grace, which we were each first touched by God. It is this spot of grace that issues peace. Psychologists call this spot the psyche. Theologians call it the soul. Jung calls it the seat of the unconscious. Hindu masters call it Atman. Buddhists call it Dharma. Rika calls it inwardness. Sufis call it Kalab. And Jesus calls it the center of our love. To know this spot of inwardness is to know who we are, not by surface markers of identity, not by where we work or what we wear or how we like to be addressed, but by feeling our place in relation to the infinite and by inhabiting it. This is hard. This is a hard lifelong task, for the nature of becoming is a constant filming over of where we began, while the nature of being is a constant erosion of what is not essential. Each of us lives in the midst of this ongoing tension, growing tarnished or covered over, only to be worn back to that incorruptible spot of grace at our core. When this film is worn through, we have moments of enlightenment, moments of wholeness, moments of Satori. As the Zen sage terms it, moments of clear living. When inner meets outer, moments of full integrity of being, moments of complete oneness. And whether the film is a veil of culture, of memory, of mental or religious training, of trauma or sophistication, the removal of that film and the restoration of that timeless spot of grace is the goal of all therapy and education. Regardless of subject matter, this is the only thing worth teaching. How to uncover that original center and how to live there once it is restored. We call the filming over a deadening of heart and the process of return, whether brought about through suffering or love, is how we unlearn our way back to God. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Ruby, for reading that Mark Nepo's, from Mark Nepo's Book of Awakening. That first part that she read there was actually a quote from Helen Luke, which I thought was also perfectly placed there with that particular wording. So I do want to mention the core value that I'm touching on here in this particular sharing. It is core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Again, that's core value number 5. You can find that core value out on our website. There at awakeningtogether.org. So, you know, one of the things that I've always enjoyed doing is working on puzzles. Even as a kid, I would love to put together puzzles, you know. So as I got older and you know, more technically savvy, if you will, you know, I became more interested in like word games, you know, online word games. If I play a game, it's usually going to be some sort of word game. It's just the way I've always been. So what I've come to liken this whole process of awakening to, it's like we have every single puzzle piece. We're born with every single puzzle piece. As today's reading just mentioned, we're born unencumbered. So as we progress and get on this spiritual path, it's like laying all the pieces out before us so we can see them, so that we can ultimately see the big picture. And as we progress along the path, I think, you know, what I'm trying to say there is even before we get on this path, it's like the puzzle pieces are there, but the lights are off, right? We can't see the puzzle pieces to even begin to arrange them in a way that's useful for us. So as we progress along this path, this journey of awakening, the lights come on, right? Now we can see all the puzzle pieces in front of us. Our only task is to put them in a certain, so that they make sense, so that it presents to us a real, actual picture that we can absorb and be a part of. So I want to start today's gathering out with a couple of those puzzle pieces. The first one is that we enter this realm, this space, this earth, with no limitations. We were a clear and present spark of the Creator, unencumbered. The other is that we relied solely on our environment to inform us, because we couldn't communicate verbally. We couldn't communicate how we were feeling. We couldn't communicate anything. So we had to rely completely on our environment, whether it be our parents, our siblings, whatever the case may be. We had to rely on our environment. And until we were about 7 years old, feeling was our only form of communication. Our our only form of communication was to feel. So, as I mentioned at the top, I did set an intention for this particular gathering. This message today is for a specific person or group of people. It's meant to trigger certain individuals in certain ways. And that is the intention I've set here. You will know that this message is specifically for you if somewhere in your experience you're still dealing with behaviors, reactions, beliefs, or circumstances even that are clearly out of alignment or incongruent with what you know by now to be the truth. And I speak from a place of absolute experience. So much, or I don't want to say so much there. Several things in my own personal experience were out of alignment, incongruent with this message. You can fill in the blank there for whatever you know to be out of alignment. It's the thing that keeps you from stepping all the way into no self and staying there, sustaining that position. It could be shopping, drinking, pills, whatever, beliefs, reactions, fill in the blank. You know what it is. So for a long time, I was expecting these things to just magically come into alignment by offering my willingness, by doing the things that, that were required of me on this spiritual path. I expected them to magically disappear somehow. I mean, I've read about people like Byron Katie, who had these miraculous, spontaneous awakenings and healings. And I knew that God wasn't a respecter of persons. I knew that. I knew that surely the same was possible for me. One day I would awaken and to my truth in such a powerful way that all of these inconsistencies would just magically disappear. Vanish into thin air. And that the real me would pop out and we'd ride off into the sunset, you know, like just like in the movies. Now, I know that sounds a little ludicrous when I say it out loud. It does. But it was an internal dialogue that was probably mostly unconscious. Yeah, mostly unconscious. But it made perfect sense that if I just stayed this course, if I just kept giving it my all, kept showing up, that things would magically happen. But what is magic if not an illusion? That's what magic is. It is an illusion. So shortly after my last sharing here, I think it was at the beginning of February, I was presented with some information. It was known information, but it was presented to me in a different way, in a new way. And it gave me exactly what I needed to piece together this puzzle so that the puzzle made more sense, so that I was more likely to let go of the inconsistencies and sustain my present moment awareness, sustain myself here presently in this moment. And I want to share with you a few things that I've learned, or should I say that I've known that I now am experiencing. But the only other thing that I want to say about that particular thing that showed up is that there was knowing. When that came, I knew. There was no doubt. There was no hesitation. There was no pausing, waiting, thinking. I knew that that was exactly what I needed. I knew that was the piece that was, that wasn't missing. It was hiding in plain sight. I knew that that was what I was looking for. So let me roll back now to one of the statements that I originally made. It's the second statement about feeling, about emotions, about how we as children could not process what we were feeling. So after we exited that first section of our life, the first 7-8 year period, our entire focus became, okay, now it's time for me to put childish things aside. The world groomed us to now focus on becoming an adult, focus on becoming a productive member of society. But, and we essentially left that section of our life, the very first section, just the way it was, in whatever condition it was in, you know? And we just began to explore life as it was unfolding for us. So we just kind of threw a blanket on that part of our life and we continued on. But the fact is, the emotions that we weren't able to express then as children never went anywhere. In fact, they simply continued to display themselves in the form of manifestations. We began to manifest. We began to manifest those feelings of grief, anger, pain, whatever the feelings were. We began to have these manifestations of those unfelt emotions. And we identified with those manifestations. And through that identification, which is, by the way, what Regina has taught us as the I am bad thought, right? It's the identification with the things that were manifesting that were out of alignment with our original state of innocence. And of course, such identification only created more manifestations. And depending on what level you were manifesting these things, again, moving us further and further and further away from our perfection, from presence. Ultimately, we ended up believing, or at least I did, ended up believing that the things that were manifesting represented who I am. it became the thought that this is what I must be. Because this is what's showing up. This is what's being reflected back to me. But you see, there's a disconnect in there that most of us aren't aware of. The disconnect is that there are no new emotions. We don't experience new emotions. We experience the same emotions that were left in our childhood manifested in our current experience. So every child experiences fear at some level. Every child experiences fear. No matter how wonderful your childhood was. And, you know, of course, some children experience fear to a much greater degree than others. That's a given. I'm reminded now of my oldest granddaughter. I can remember once taking her to Chuck E. Cheese, which is her favorite place. She loves Chuck E. Cheese. And she was having a good time, you know, riding the rides, exploring every little thing, running up to every little game and having fun, pulling her tickets out. And then the big mouse came out. Oh, gosh, when the big mouse came out, she was like, no, you know, no, no. Nope, don't like the mouse. Just no. And she came running over to me like, you know, no, I don't. Yeah, no, not the mouse. My point is in telling that particular story is how easily children are put in a state of fear. And we know that fear is what moves us away from presence. So as these little children, the more we experience fear that we could not express, that we could not communicate, we naturally left the state of presence we were in and entered into more of our mental body, leaving the body and leaving from a place of presence into the mental realm, you know, because there's all three of these bodies or things are working. Your physical body, your mental body, and your emotional body. They're all working together or working against each other in some cases. So, you know, like I said, we move from this perfect place of presence into that mental realm, out of the body. And that's how we left ultimately gradually over the years before we knew it. You know, we didn't even know what presence was anymore because of fear. Our work here in this realm, in this circle, has always been about dislodging from that belief, dislodging from the belief that we're anything other than perfect awareness, than presence. But for me, I wasn't quite making the connection that what was buried in the past and what was continuing to manifest in my now requires, and I want to emphasize that, it requires my undivided attention, love, and acknowledgement. I believe that this is the primary cause of the effects that we experience out here in the world that are out of alignment. Those experiences that we want to be free from, they have nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go unless we create a space of love and attention. They have nowhere to go. And just like awareness, as I was doing this particular focusing in this particular way, what I realized was just like awareness, that inner child has always been there. But it's now shows up in the form of an emotional signature. It has a signature, the emotional child. Of course, there's not a physical emotional or physical child here, but that inner child is now an emotional signature that requires our attention and integration before any of the work we do here will have an eternal or sustaining effect, impact on our life, an experiential impact on our experience here. So how do we accomplish that? How exactly do we address that part of our being that longs for our attention, longs for our love, and longs for acceptance? One of the ways we do this is through meditation. Meditation is absolutely a primer. It brings us back into the body. Because remember what I said, as children, we exited the body. We exited to the mental realm and ultimately forgot all about the fact that we were actually present. So the first step is to bring it back inside of the body so that we're present in this moment, aware in this moment. Now, in addition to meditation, which is something I personally, and you know, these, again, these are known things. Meditation is something that I've been doing throughout this being on the spiritual path, but the key is consistency. So for the past probably 7-8 weeks, I've been very consistent with my meditation. Very consistent. Because I understand better why that's so vitally important to integrating all parts of me. The second thing that we can do and that we can do is to begin to see our upsets, the things that upset us, the things that trigger us, the things that cause us to react in a way that's out of alignment with truth, with our truth. To begin to see those upsets as a setup. Presence, awareness, that internal inwardness that we just heard Ruby read about, is always offering us up opportunities to free ourselves from that through people and circumstances. We're always being offered the opportunity to see what's really underneath, what's under the surface of reactions. And to generate authentic movement, right? If we're not making authentic movements in our life, then we're really in pretense instead of in presence. So if this message resonates with you and you recognize that now is the time for you to begin to process and whatever's here, whatever's lurking beneath the surface, waiting for the next person or next event to trigger you. Or again, if there are things going on within your experience that you know are out of alignment with this path, with this goal, with your ultimate goal, then I want to invite you to do something for the next. You put the time on it. You know, you could do this for one day, you could do it for 1 week, you could do it for 1 month or 1 year. whatever you determine is sufficient enough time for you, then you put that time on it. But what I want to encourage you to do is to see every single setup or every single upset as a setup, as I said. And what you want to do when an upset comes, because trust me, they will come once you commit to doing what I'm saying here. You'll see them. Presence awareness will make sure that you have plenty to work with, because now you're working on what matters. So the first thing is to recognize that you're being set up. And you have to get to a point where you completely dismiss whatever form it's showing up in. However it's showing up, if it's showing up as a person, if it's showing up as an event, if it's showing up, however it's showing up, you have to completely dismiss the way it's showing up and then focus only in on how you're feeling. What type of feeling is this evoking in me? And then you just allow that feeling to be there. You don't try to fix it, because nothing's broken. Nothing is broken, people. Nothing. You don't try to heal it. You don't try to understand it. You don't do any of those things. You simply allow that feeling to be there in whatever forms it shows up in. Because it is a manifestation from past pain. As I mentioned, there are no new emotions. There are no new internal feelings that you're getting. They're feelings that have always been with you, but were not properly integrated, so they continue to come back until they're allowed to be what they are, allowed to be embraced, just like we would a small child who is hurting. You know, we don't badger them. We don't, we sit with them. We love them. We hold them. And that's what needs to happen in this particular instance. Something is demanding our attention. And one way that you can look at this is, you know, when the mailman comes, right? We all get mail wherever we are, in whatever city, state, or rural county we're in. We all get mail, right? When the mailman shows up with a bill and you don't like the bill, you're upset. If you live in the Midwest in the winter, yeah, you get, or even out in Colorado, we get some pretty big fuel costs. Or even in the warmer states, in the summertime, you get these big bills because we're constantly running our AC or our heat. So when the mailman comes and brings you that bill, you don't run outside and say, hey, you know, what are you doing? Quit bringing these things over here. We don't do that. We do not chase down the mailman. What do? If we're feeling frustration and anger, it's at the bill. We direct our attention towards the bill or towards the company that sent us the bill. We don't go chasing down the mailman. And that's the exact same attitude we have to have about these setups. Don't go chasing down the messenger. Get the message that's there. Once we get to a point where we're consistently processing how we're feeling, this is actually a key to releasing our conditioned reactions and the habits that we form to deal with these conditioned habits. Right? whatever habits are there, they're there to sedate these conditioned reactions or sedate the manifestations to help us to cope with what's manifesting in our life, right? We all want to feel joy. We all want to feel peace. We all want to feel free. And if we're not having that experience, then very likely that we're going to turn to things to help us to forget or to cope or to deal with what we cannot control. So I want to also give you an example here of an experience that I've had. Once again, as I mentioned, once you focus your attention in this way, awareness will absolutely be sure to bring you things to help you to look at, to get to what's underneath that pain. Right? It's the reason why we're not sustained. I want to speak for anyone else, but for me, I know that it's why I was not able to sustain this presence, the awareness, to stay in the now moment. All right? So I want to give you an example. On the day that I started focusing in this way, looking in this way, my car breaks down. All right? And I have an older model car. It's not, anything fancy. It's, it's an older model car, but it was running fine. There was no issues. I didn't have anything going on. So, I had it towed to the shop. They worked on it for a week, I think. And I got it back. And it quit again the next day. So I went, okay, yeah, that was a little frustrating. Sent it back to the shop. They looked at it again. They worked on it again a couple of days. I got it back. It shut off again. So now I'm going, well, wait a second. There, must be the shop where I had it at. Maybe they don't know as much about cars as they pretend to know. So let me send it over here to this new place and let them look at it. So they looked at it and they go, there's something really major going on here. Maybe you'll need a new engine. And I'm going, hey, wait, that can't really be the case. I would have known that my engine was going out there. There's that gives you sign. There's smoking and oil leaks and knocking. I wasn't experiencing any of that, but it's okay. I'll have it towed to another shop that can, work on that, because that shop didn't work on engines. So I sent it to a third shop. They worked on engines. They were a very reputable company. They have several shops throughout the Indianapolis area, so they're well established. I felt very comfortable going to this place, even though I knew it would cost me more money. So I send the car to that shop. They work on it. They work on it. They work on it. They run all these tests. They test the electricity. They do all this stuff. They had it for like a week and a half, maybe a little over a week. And then they finally called and said, hey, bring us all this money down here and come pick your car up. It's ready to go. So I get there, pick my car up, pay out all of the bill, and my car quits the next day. No, the same day. The same day I got it out, stopped again. Nothing turning. So I called them up. I said, hey, something's not right here. My car is still not starting. So can you come back, pick it up, check it out? They did. They came back, picked it up, and it's still in the shop as we speak. I haven't had a car in over a month. So what I did was exactly what I'm suggesting you do. I saw that. I knew that I was being set up. I knew that I was being set up. No matter how much I wanted to blame the car lot. No matter how much I wanted to blame the people that fixed it, I knew that I had to take my attention off of the story and focus on how I was feeling. So I sat with that and I went, yeah, you know, I feel frustrated. I feel angry. I feel disappointed. Now, this was after the first send back to the garage. Yeah, I'm feeling frustrated here. I feel disappointed. Okay, I'm going to allow this to be here. Allow this to be here. It's all good. You know, I'm feeling it. The third time it went to the shop, though, I went, this is deeper than frustration and anger. What's here? What is this? And what came up for me was powerlessness. Ah, now I'm on something big, really big. Right. I'm feeling powerless. No matter how much money I throw at this thing, no matter how much I do, no matter who I have working on it, it's still not working. So there's this pervasive, I mean, it was so uncomfortable to sit with that, because as I sat with that, I began to get images coming into my mind of all the times I had felt powerless before that. See, we're never dealing with a new emotion. We're always dealing with unprocessed stuff from the past. So I wasn't dealing with anything new here. And that became evident very quickly that there was this long-standing feeling of powerlessness. I didn't get the job. I didn't get this. I didn't get a lot of feeling powerlessness, feeling powerless. So I thought, okay, yeah, I can see how I've identified with the belief in powerlessness. I can see why that this big setup is here, because it's here to help me to integrate this feeling of powerlessness. And that's what I did. I sat with powerlessness. I sat with the uncomfortable feeling of not being able to do or get something done that I needed done. I mean, you can imagine being without a vehicle. You can imagine that, you know, the pressure that was there to get this done. But there was this feeling of powerlessness. And what I did was I simply allowed that powerlessness to be here, you see. Accepting that that's how I was feeling, and that also at the same time knowing that this can't continue to direct me, to inform my decisions. If I'm making decisions from a place of feeling powerless, then 9 times out of 10, I'm probably not making good decisions. So this can't be allowed to inform my decision-making anymore. This has to be embraced. This has to be accepted. This has to be loved. This whatever attention is needed, I have to be willing to give it to this feeling of powerlessness. And I'm still sitting with that feeling, that emotion. It's critical that I point out one other thing here when talking about this. In order to be successful at processing this emotional stuff, this emotional baggage, we absolutely have to drop the story, our allegiance to the story. You remember how when we were in school, we'd have to raise our hand and pledge our allegiance to the flag of the United States of America? Well, what we've been doing is pledging allegiance to the stories attached. If I had stayed with, oh, well, the car lot isn't, this is some crappy work they've done, and I can't believe they've, you know, if I had really got caught up in the story, can you see how the underlying feeling would have gone completely unnoticed, completely untouched? And it would have represented itself again and again and again. And as a matter of fact, initially when the car was, when all this was happening, I wasn't seeing that feeling of powerlessness. So I absolutely believe. And by the way, it's a mystery. They don't know what's wrong with my car. They ran every test. It's not the engine. It's not this. It's not that. But I can't focus on the story. I have to put my hand down when it comes to pledging allegiance to the story. Going back to the mailman, you know, going back to the analogy of the mailman, if you're pledging allegiance to the story, you're running, you're chasing the mailman with a gun for delivering a bill to you, or chasing him with a weapon for delivering that bill to you. It won't work. It won't stop the bills from coming. If you hurt that mailman, guess what? Another mailman is coming next week with those bills again. So chasing down the messenger or getting caught up in the story that we've pledged our allegiance to is not going to solve the problem. In fact, it's going to help us to continue to avoid what's really going on, to continue to sedate and try to control our circumstances because we're chasing messengers instead of looking at the message. The stories that we've attached to people, the stories that we've attached to events, have to be completely dismissed in order for this to be something that's workable and doable and where you'll see an actual experience, you know, or be receive and be a party to an actual experience. Because absolutely, this may sound simple, but in my experience, especially with the powerlessness, it was very uncomfortable. Even dismissing the messenger, you know, dismissing the mailman. You know, it's retraining your brain to look past the mailman. Because like I said, I guarantee you, if you kill that mailman, another one is coming. You can't stop it. You won't be able to stop that. And so, again, we indulge in behaviors, reactions, habits, because we can't control the mailmen that are showing up. Joy is absolutely within us. Authentic joy, real joy is within us. We were born unencumbered. And just like joy, so are our emotions. All of them are within us. And what I've learned is real joy isn't about what's going on outside of me. It isn't about what's happening out there. It's about being able to include everything, because that's what awareness does. It includes everything. It doesn't close anything off. It doesn't shun or push away anything. It includes everything, and that includes our emotions. Now, one thing that's coming to mind now is Dr. Hugh Lins, his process, the whole Ho'oponopono. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. Who do you think that statement is geared towards? If not the inner child that I've been speaking about, surely our Father doesn't require any form of forgiveness. In fact, The Course in Miracles teaches us that ultimately there's nothing to forgive. I absolutely believe that that statement is directed towards the inner child. Please forgive me for overlooking this pain that's been stuffed away for so long, I'm sorry, I love you, is welcoming it in, accepting it for what it is. It's directed to that part of us that knows we're complete, knows we're perfect, knows that we're loved, that we're safe, and that we're complete joy. And until we process those parts and pieces that are out of alignment, those feelings, because it's never the circumstance, it's the emotion attached to that that needs our attention. So I do want to say that as a result of spending this consistent time in meditation, focusing on my breath, because the breath is what connects you to the body. 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. Seeing my upsets as setups, processing the emotion that's arising as a result of this particular setup. In a fairly short period of time, I can gladly and humbly report that several of the things that were plaguing me continuously, ongoing, unable to shake, are no longer a part of my experience. And that's huge for me. I'm not wondering anymore when this or that will change. I'm living the change. The changes that have eluded me for a long time, I'm living those changes. It can seem like a long journey between being up here and getting into the heart space. Can seem like a long journey, but it's really a matter of being. It's not, even though I've talked about things that you can do, recognizing the messenger, dismissing the messenger, focusing on the fear. I've talked about things that you can do, but it's really about a state of being. Being and the intention that you set to really focus on what matters, to stop chasing the mailman and get the message. One last thing. Oh my God, it's 11:30. Oh my goodness. I don't want to say anything else. One more thing. As I was getting ready to do this, I was opening up my reading from for this particular sharing. I was opening up my reading. And what I did was I opened up an April 2017 reading. And I was absolutely, as I mentioned, everything is known. It's all there. It's always been there. The puzzle pieces are here. It's a matter of putting them together. But what I pulled up, I was stunned, and I'll close with this. I read from Adi Ashanti. My topic in April of 2017 was honoring discomfort. And this is what I read from Adi Ashanti back then. What arises is, for the most part, unresolved conflict within us. Emotions we've never allowed ourselves to feel fully. Experiences we've never allowed ourselves to experience fully. Pains we've never allowed ourselves to feel fully. We wake up to the reality of our being by relating with our human nature, not by avoiding it, not by going around it, not by trying to pray it away or mantra it away or meditate it away. We wake up by letting everything within ourselves reveal itself, be felt, be experienced, be known. Then and only then can we move on to a deeper level. I read that 2 years ago. That's exactly what I'm saying today. I have to close. I'm so sorry for taking us over here. I was completely oblivious to the time. Dawn, please play us a closing song. Love to you all. Thank you.
hung my hat on a wishing tree. I asked for one wish, I could have had three, but I only asked for what I needed. I could have asked for money, riches and wealth, but all I really wanted was to find myself. Unaccustomed as I was to seeking, and my heart whispered inside, and the moon rose and the angels sighed. They said, here comes your second chance, you'd better believe it. Open up and receive it. Here comes your second chance. Take a deep breath. This is your second chance. Make peace with your mother, your father too. Make peace with the stranger inside of you. And forgive yourself for the things you tried and failed to do. Embrace your anger, your lust and your greed. That's how we drop the things that we don't need. Pick up a musical instrument or plant a seed. That was my heart whispering inside. Welcome, it said, you're home and dry. And here comes your second chance, you'd better believe it. Open up and receive it. Here comes your second chance. Take a deep breath. This is your second chance. Well, the years went by, and my wish came true, and I find myself here with you. I had to climb a mountain, there's no way around it. And we all come and go like waves in the sea, each with our own responsibility. Try to leave this world more beautiful than we found it. And that's your heart whispering inside. And you know your heart, it never lied. And here comes your second chance. Better believe it. Open up and receive it. Here comes your second chance. Take a deep breath. This is your second chance. This is your second chance.
All right. right. Thank you. Thank you, Dawn. We're over, obviously. I want to also remember that ask Dawn to put our link in the room. Anyone who wants to stay over, we're already over into fellowship time. So if you are wanting to leave the gathering now, you know, you're free to do that. And we're going to go ahead and I'm going to turn this thing back over to Dawn to let us know how we're doing fellowship now. Thanks again.